Isn't it a dry stadium? Is he gonna have to sneak something in?
Well, the latest I saw was Bev was being told to wear really big pants. So,
Fred's was a nurse and she used to strap a catheter bag to her leg with one.
Oh, Jesus.
Another please. Just
get in.
Good night.
Track and Field Podcast. This is Trackcasting.
Hello and welcome to Trackcastic, the fantastic new podcast brought to you by Twitter's Athleticos. I'm Jamie at McGann Jamie.
And I'm Gabby at Smoky Mozzarella.
On the show today, we look ahead to the European Indoor Championships in Belgrade.
We check in with the latest in Laura Muir's quest to conquer the world.
And we'll give you our views on the latest phenomenon in the athletics world, Usain Bolt's Nitro Athletics. We also have the crew of this.
I'm Carol at Flick22S.
I'm Chris at Chris Brown Sport.
And I'm Kerry at Le Petit Cochon.
This is our 10th episode. If this is a decathlon, this episode is now the 1500 metres, so brace yourself, guys.
With Ashton Eaton retiring, we need new decathletes on the scene. So
there you go.
I think we're in that space now.
That's us. And to anybody who's actually listened to the 10 episodes, you deserve a medal. All the medals.
You've got a bigger set. We've got some fans out there. It's like two.
Correct. Yes, technically correct. We do have fans in the plural. So. It's quite difficult, actually, isn't it, in the down season, how quickly your mind just moves on. I mean, we obviously live and breathe all of this stuff during the summer. But just as I was gathering a few thoughts before doing this today, I was thinking, what's his name again, that guy? The pole vaulter guy. Oh, what's his name? I can't remember. Just going, oh, my God. Why have I forgotten all the names? Jamie, you often do that. He says, do you remember in 1980, Calvin Lewis, or Calvin Smith?
It's the short-term memory.
How do you remember that?
Long-term memory is on point. Short-term memory is appalling. It's Clover Court's high jump. That's what my short-term memory is.
So I'm actually going to Belgrade, so I'm quite excited about that. So I'm actually leaving tomorrow. I should really be packing just now, but I'm not. I'm doing this podcast instead. So if I have no clean underwear while I'm away, it's your fault. I've checked in on the British team who are going to be there. So I think there's 31 athletes that we're sending for 36 slots. So I'll just run through who's going. It's a really interesting mix of people on the team, actually. And then we can chat about it. So starting with the main, so in the 60 metres, we've got Richard Kilty. Better make sure he doesn't get his spike stolen. And it would be a real shame, obviously, if anyone stole his spikes in Belgrade. That would be terrible. Andrew Robertson, Theo Etienne. In the 800 metres, Guy Learmonth, Kyle Langford. 1500 metres, Tom Lancashire, who's, I think, coached by Steve Cram, by the way. You don't hear much about
Family
coaches, so
it's true.
That's good just to note that.
Good information.
It's good information, yeah. 3,000 metres, Nick Gulab. 60 hurdles, Andrew Potsey. David King, David Omeregi. In the high jump, we've got Robbie, Chris Candu, Alan Smith. Long jump, Dan Bramble. And the multi-events, Ashley Bryan and Liam Ramsey. And then the women's team, which is really exciting, there's Asha Phillip in 60. In the 400, there's Ailey Doyle, Livia Nelson, Lena Nelson. 800, Shalina Oskin-Clark. 1500, Laura Muir, Ailish McColgan. 3000, Laura Muir, Ailish McColgan and Steph Twell. High jump, Morgan Lake. Long jump, KGT, Lorraine Ugun and Jasmine Sawyers. Shot, Rachel Wallander. And the 4x4, Ailey, Livia, Lena, Philippa Lowe and Mary Hickey. So that's really, I think that's kind of a really nice team, actually. It's kind of a mix of juniors and kind of new people coming through, but then there's some big stars in there, isn't there?
Yeah, it's exciting.
I just think it's a shame that they didn't bother with the men's 4x4 team.
Makes no sense.
Well, they'd already qualified. It's a six-team final, straight final. They could have cobbled a team of youngsters together quite easily.
Seb Roger was up for doing the individual. He would have been a really good bet to put in there. Really strange decision.
With Chalmers coming on as well, you know, a young guy, it would have been a great chance to give him some experience, you know, because people think, you know, go to the European indoors, it's a great introduction to the senior team.
We have looked back at the team members in previous European indoors for 4x4, and you think, who?
Yeah.
No offense. Yeah. But it's true.
I think in like 2005, was it, we won the silver medal, and it was like the youngest, most inexperienced team we'd ever sent, and we managed to somehow come away with a silver medal. Yeah, I can't even remember who was in that team, but we definitely got a medal.
The coach, Dan Cossins, was in that team.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, I remember he was in it. Was Dale Garland in it as well?
Yeah, I think so.
Send like a team of youngsters and get some experience, but who knows?
Absolutely. And then the other problem that I have with that is you guys fund those relays. Yeah. Send them to a champs. Absolutely. But that's the only moan that I have about that team, because aside from that, it looks great. Really, it looks like a strong team that's going to bring back a lot of medals.
Yeah, it was great they added Kyle, because obviously he had quite a disappointing race at trials. But after a 600-metre record, and then showing in Birmingham, you know, for once the selectors saw a bit of sense as far as he's concerned.
And isn't it just going to be such a great women's long jump competition? With Spanovic on home turf, I mean, I really hope she has a phenomenal competition. And then the three Brits are just superb.
I can't really see past Spanovic for that one. She's jumping nearly 7 metres already.
Yeah. And we won't begrudge her it either, will we?
No.
So Spanovic, you've mentioned, is one of the big names there. So I've had a quick run through, you know, who's doing it and who's not. So some of the other big names that will be there are Pavel Maslak, who's looking pretty good, I think, for the 400. He kind of looked great early in the season. Anita Marton, who's going to be difficult to beat, I think, in the shot. So I think she'll be a good one. Because basically female shot putters are trying to get pregnant this year. So yeah. Queen Val said she's taken a year out. And I think Christina Schwanitz is already pregnant, I think. So so 2017 is the year.
Congrats.
For shot put babies. At least not me personally. Ekaterina Stefanidi is going to be there in the pole vault. Ruthie B is going to be there, kind of just coming straight from the piano bar. She's going to be there. Piotr Lisek in the pole vault, he's been really good. Nadine Brewerson, I suspect, has got the pentathlon wrapped up. But Susanna Kalur is going to be there, and she's going to be retiring.
Naffy's there as well, isn't she?
Naffy Champion. That'll be interesting. Yeah.
So is Naffy doing the pentathlon?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm down with that.
I think that's going to pay to her strength. Oh, you just mentioned Peter Lisek. He just had a terrible accident. Pole vault. It snapped in half, and he
really?
Did a mid-air flip, and he was going everywhere.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah.
Somebody shared the video. It was insane.
Is he alive?
Yes.
Next week.
Yeah. I mean, one of the best battles for me is going to be Ortega against Andy Potsy. Ladies, I'm sure you're looking forward to that one for many reasons. So, Kerry, do you want to take a moment to talk about Andy?
Oh, I just need to. Calm down for a moment. It just couldn't have gone any better for him in the run-up, could it really? Just PB after PB, so consistent in the 7.4 region that he could... And he did hit the hurdle, the first hurdle, when he did 7.43, so I think he could take that down.
How relaxed Colin was, going, oh yeah, he's definitely got the GB record indoor and out, because like those times aren't significant at all, obviously, being ex-world record and current world record.
Three is just insane. I think that's going to take a massive run to get near that.
The only thing that scares me about how well Potsy is doing is the fact that exactly 10 years ago, Nicholas Sanders was running these amazing times. And that was after a few years of dodgy injury. And then she was injured again forever. And so we're all just thinking about this indoor season of Nicholas Sanders in 2007. And I just have this horrible feeling that we could potentially be doing the same at Andy. So if anybody just wants to say a special prayer that doesn't come to pass,
She won outdoor silver, didn't she, that year? So
she did.
We take that in London.
That's a good point. Okay, so that's a good omen.
What about the Nielsen twins, Livia and Lena? They've been on the margins for a while, but it looks like this year might be their year to break through.
Yeah.
To be fair, I hadn't followed them hugely recently, but Carol, I think you've kind of been following them, haven't you?
Yeah, I suppose mainly Livia. You know, she was running well last year, and she certainly looks like, you know, she might be the real deal. Lena's going to the hurdles.
Yeah.
They've said in interviews that she's got more strength than speed, which might work well. She ran a couple last year, and she's been specifically training this winter for the hurdles. So she's going to take that on from now on. And their reactions to their PBs are just... it's so wonderful to watch them.
But they're 20 years old as well. They're babies. Yeah. It's incredible. The fact that the Hiltons as well, you've got these two sets. It's really exciting. And exactly like Carol said, there's a difference between the Nielsens, you know, that Lena has the endurance and is it Lavia or Livia?
Livia. No, that was just my accent making it.
But Livia has the speed, so that's great as well that they have two complementary talents. They're so really looking forward to that. But at 20, to be running 51 indoors and 52 indoors is phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think as well with her, she's got very long legs for an indoor runner, so she can go below 52 indoors.
Yes.
Her potential outdoors, surely she's going to revise her outdoor PB hugely.
I agree.
Once the summer season comes, so you know she's got a great chance of getting onto the World Champs team if she continues like this.
Mm.
Really graceful.
Absolutely. Gazelle-like even, both of them.
And that's what's so good about the European indoors is that it's such a good opportunity for people like that to make a breakthrough. Like 2 years ago, Sarah Bundy-Davis came away with a medal in the 400.
Exactly, yeah.
So it's like this is just a great opportunity for someone of her age to kind of get that championship experience where you've got a little bit of pressure where you expect to like make the final or something. But then, you know, you can win a medal if it comes to grabs.
That's it. And Lena did run a couple of 400-meter hurdles last summer. Just to be clear on that, I think she ran 58 a couple of times, didn't she? So I'm expecting, you know, maybe 57, even 56 come the summer and then kicking on then towards next year because, again, they're so young. So, yeah, really exciting to see how they develop. Who else on the British team are you guys looking forward to seeing?
Nobody else.
I'd love Asha to get a medal. I'd really love it if she could, you know, she's been fourth so many times. Yeah, I'd be made up if she could finally grab a medal.
Uh-huh. well, looking elsewhere in the team, I was being a bit partisan and I counted up how many Scots there were, not just in the team, but how many of the slots were filled, and it's 9 out of 36, which is about 25% of the team, or in more technical terms, hunters. Scots there. So Guy Learmonth, Alan Smith, Ailey obviously, Steph Twell, although I'm never very sure how Scottish Steph Twell is actually. But we'll take any medals, thank you very much. Ailey McColgan, who is having a really good start to the year, just given her troubles over the last few years with injury.
I'd love her.
She's looked so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's this other bird as well who's been doing all right.
She's all right, yeah.
She's all right. Yeah, I don't know. Miss Laura Muir. What is she like?
But I love Pierce put up a video of her giving her Laura Muir face to the end. And his comment was like, this is what clean athletes look like at the end of a race, you know.
Yeah.
And she crosses the line and collapses to the floor meant to vomit. Brilliant. I love it. Any Atleticos in Belgrade, and anybody listening to this show who's going to be in Belgrade, needs to have the Laura Muir face on when she's running. Shake the head left and right. Just go for it.
that sounds like something that needs to be captured on film. And
I hope so. Watch this space. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in terms of Ireland, then, we've sent a pretty decent team as well. I'm really excited about that. We've got a full complement of women sprinters. We're sending three to do the 60 metres, and one of them was only 17.
Oh, wow.
She ran 7:31, which is brilliant for a 17-year-old. Mm. We've got Phil Healy as well, also doing the 60 metres, who's from the depths of hell. She's doing the double. She's actually doing the double. Fair play. I think she's still trying to decide which is her event, because she ran a PB in the 60 metres also, and then a PB in the 400 metres. So she's going to do both. But I think we're looking for medals coming from Kira McGean, 1500 metres, Brian Gregan looks really good in the 400 metres, and we have a history there of doing that well with David Gillick, who's also a phenomenal runner.
Did Luke Lennon-Ford not make it then?
So somebody explain to me, is Luke Lennon-Ford trying to run for Ireland? Is that what's going on here? Yeah. I didn't know that.
So he's like great-grandfather, 20 times removed. Apparently it's always been his dream to represent Ireland.
So. Not a problem. Richard Morrissey runs for Ireland as well. I think they might train together, do they? We can move on from my lack of knowledge about Irish athletes.
But it's, how good is it that Laura Muir and Elise McCaughan are doubling up at the 15 and 3,000? I mean, usually it's just Renata Police that does that. So
yes.
Well worth getting excited about.
Absolutely.
I mean, it is pretty impressive when you think it's a three-day championship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it's incredible. I mean, the sprinters should take note when it comes to the summer, and they're like, oh, I'll just do the one.
They're Scottish. Yeah. They've got that... not a problem. Can't wait. So I reckon Laura's going to do some really special things in Belgrade, just looking at what she did in Birmingham, where she was tremendous. And Kerry, maybe you can talk us through what happened in Birmingham, because there were some amazing performances there already.
Oh, what do we have? Laura, obviously 10,000 metres, 1,000 metres. British record, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Kelly Holmes' record.
Oh, yeah, and some fantastic pacemaking from our new favourite pacemaker, yeah. Jenny Meadows.
Whoop! Pugger rugged.
Both Jenny and Bram Salm, it's business. It's click, yeah. Click, click. Mm. There you go, job done. It's beautiful. It's really nice.
I think they really know what they're doing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Mo did something. Apparently it was loud and the crowd liked it, but, you know. What was the European record for the 5,000 metres indoor?
I think it's such a shame because, so he breaks a European record, which is a good thing. You know, Laura Muir broke a British record, which is a good thing. But we're all just so fed up with these races being set up.
There was no race against.
And actually, it was a really good run. If he broke a European record, you know, I'm not sure how tough it was, but regardless, that's a good thing. But we're all just like, whatever, because no one was there. You know, people
wanted to be there. There was a good few athletes that wanted to be in that race, and they weren't allowed, which is just ridiculous.
I think could have beaten him. Yeah. And that race, looking at it
between Mo and Laura, is that Laura would not accept a weak field. She would want the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can be sure that it's the agents asking for that.
Yeah.
Demanding that, rather. Which is just ridiculous.
Andy Pozzi, another PB. Very good.
Amazing.
Was it in Birmingham or Sheffield that Kilty's shoes disappeared?
Sheffield.
And it's good to see Robbie Grabert's back, actually, after his appendix operation.
He clearly didn't listen to your New Year's resolutions, Gabby.
No, he didn't. No,
I was kind of disappointed with that. I thought somebody's going to get a slap. Do you want to talk about Elaine Thompson, Kerry?
She ran fast.
You see, and that's why her Twitter name is Fast Elaine.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, 6.98, that's pretty swift.
Why is nobody excited about that? Like, that's Provalova fast, and nobody's really excited about it. I mean, because that's a phenomenal time.
I think for me, anyway, I mean, there's a lot of things in there, but it's like, well, no, you're not the number one Jamaican. Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce is the number one Jamaican, so go away. Maybe this is a change. Maybe this is a change, but I'm not ready for it yet. It's like, okay. I want Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce and her Fraggle hair just eyeballs out and looking like a Jamaican Laura Muir with her, you know, just her face going, and I'm just not, I'm not ready for Elaine.
I think that's it.
That's really interesting. So if you're happy, if you're cheering for Elaine, you're dissing Shelly-Ann, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, grand, okay. I get you. So we need Shelly-Ann to retire so we can be on board with Elaine.
Exactly.
Okay. I just love the fact that her initials are ET. Excellent.
The long jump was good at Birmingham, wasn't it? Between Lorraine and Jazz. A few centimetres between them. And it's so great to see Jazz.
Indoor PB.
Yeah, exactly. A PB as well. I think women's long jump in Belgrade is going to be the event to watch. And it's great to see the two Brits really battling for that British number one. And Lorraine's having a really good season. And I feel like that's been mentioned enough. She's got form indoors as well. So
she does.
See if she can come away with another medal.
Yeah, I thought that was really cheeky when a few different news outlets put, Katarina Johnson-Thompson came second in Sheffield. Who won?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the only person that they would have mentioned had they won is Usain Bolt, Bo Farah or Justin Gatlin. They're the only people that they would have mentioned.
Yeah, it's true. And yeah, I just think Lorraine has this real quiet confidence to her.
She does.
And I remember when she was, you know, she was a US collegiate athlete. And when you come out of that, you're bound to be tired. You're bound to be a bit lost for a period of time. But in the collegiate scene, she won the indoors, the NCAAs, indoors and out. And that's special. You know, so I'm really expecting big things from her. Definitely 7 meters, hopefully in the summer, maybe even in Belgrade. Who knows? But she's a great athlete. So looking forward to that. But also very exciting to see Kelly Sutherton in the stands.
Those have been the big couple of things early on. But there's been a few other developments in, I guess, the bureaucracy of athletics, I think, since the start of the year. So I think at European level, there's going to be some kind of task force put together to review records, which I think is quite interesting. I wouldn't like to be, part of me would really like to be on that, the other part wouldn't, because actually, how on earth do you decide which records are dodgy and which ones are legit? If it was that easy, I guess we'd have done it. So that's quite an interesting development. I think it will be good to see how that unfolds. I guess we can check in with President Svein and others if we see them in Belgrade. See who's been dumped. You know, see if he'll give us the lowdown.
Whose
records are outlandish.
The other news was about the flag hopping.
Yeah.
Which I'm really happy to see that's come about. I'm just not so sure how they're gonna do it. Any expert insights into that one?
No, this is the wrong program for that, Taylor. I mean, that is really hard, but you can see and you can feel where it's just taking the piss. I mean, the way I kind of thought about it previously is that there's three categories. Apparently I do have thoughts. Here they go. There's three categories here. So first of all, there's people who have switched countries because their life has taken them in that direction. You know, people who have moved to another country at some stage of their life for a personal reason. You know, you get married and decide you're going to become a citizen of the country of your partner, or your family moves somewhere, or whatever. So for me, that's fine. That's, you know, don't even blink on that. Then there's a category right at the other end, which I think is a really kind of cynical approach, which is I am not good enough to get in that team, so I'm going to see what country takes me. And in part, I've got a little bit of sympathy with that, because when you do have only three spots per country, you do get a lot of very, very good athletes left behind. But there's a cynicism, I think, a very cynical approach about that at the minute, particularly when you look at the Turkish team in particular. There's kind of very few connections, very few kind of interaction, and I think that's the troublemaking area, I think, if you like. But for me, there's another area in the middle where actually there's some athletes who are genuinely trying to make a living, and it's not necessarily about the glory, but it's about trying to make a living. And I think particularly from athletes from East Africa, who you know, for a lot of athletes, it's not the be all and end all of their income, but I'm imagining that particularly in East Africa, it might be a route out of poverty for a lot of people. And actually, I'm not going to criticise anyone who sees a route to help bring their family, you know, kind of to a better place in life. So I've got a space for that as well. I think that I can see an argument there. But for me, the problem area is that really cynical point where it's, I'm just going to run for that country and I've got no connection to them. I'm not even going to pretend I'm connected. You know, that for me feels quite wrong. So there you go. There's my proclamation on the matter. So be interesting to see what
I think it was very necessary. It's very telling that nobody watched the European cross-country championships. They sold the rights to so few countries. It's not necessarily the outrage of the public, but I think it's the financial loss that they potentially had, because you know, countries are not interested, especially with the cross country championships. There's only 4 races. If you know that your country is not going to have a chance because there are so many Kenyans, then there's no point in paying for that event. So I think it's hit their pockets, and they've made a shift, and I'm just happy they've done that.
Kakir, she was just so right. I'm going to rant now. You better let me
go for it,
or else I'll get it out of my system. Is that she was one of these ones who was just so in your face and unrepentant.
Didn't give a shit.
Like, and that's why I hate her.
She only ran the 1500 metres at the Turkish trials, but be named in the team for the 3000.
It's a double whammy in Turkey. It's not only are they taking on athletes from Ethiopia and from Kenya, but it's the fact that so many of their female athletes have since been banned, including some of their imports, like Abla Gessi.
Oh, God.
So,
yeah.
It's just so dodge all over. It's so dodge, and it's so difficult to get behind any of their athletes.
You've got athletes coming from countries with virtually no anti-doping system going into a country that has got a terrible anti-doping record. How can you trust anybody?
There's a real vulnerability there.
Yeah.
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 Makes me feel really bad for young Turkish athletes coming through who can't get a spot on the team because the government or whoever it is, you know, whichever authority it is, has bought in talent and or supported doping. And, you know, if you're a young Turkish athlete, you know, there's just nowhere for you. And I feel really sad about that, I think. What can we talk about to cheer ourselves up? I know. Let's talk about Usain Bolt's Nitro Athletics.
Nitro Athletics.
I think we're all a little bit... Yeah, not sure about this. Actually, I watched it on iPlayer just over the last couple of days, and I think if you can park the fact that it's Superstars meets Takeshi's Castle, it's quite good. You need to not think about it as athletics, which perhaps kind of undermines the purpose of doing it. But if you're a real hardcore athletics fan, you need to just put that to the side. So I'll maybe just outline a little bit about what's involved with it. And Chris, I know you watched it as well, so it'll be good to hear your views. So basically, you have six teams. So I might not remember all of them, but I think there was Australia, New Zealand, England, China, Japan, and Usain Bolt's All-Stars. And it's a combination of a few big names. So obviously Usain Bolt, Asla Powell, Jenna Prandini, Mike Rimmer, Christine Orugu, Jarian Lawson, Fabrice Lapierre with his gold chain. So you've got a few big names, but beyond that, I think it gave a really good platform for athletes who would not normally enjoy that kind of high level platform. So it was a real mixture of a few big names, but also up and coming athletes and others who might not necessarily kind of get the kind of the highlights. And then it was a mixture of normal events and slightly daft events as well. So you had things like a mixed medley relay, where you'd have a 200, a 400, a 600, an 800. And it would be mixed between men and women. You would have, for example, in the pole vault, I think they had to nominate the heights they wanted to do. You had the 150 metres combined relay, which was a man doing 150, a woman doing 150, etc., etc. You had the 3-minute run, which is so hard to get your mind around. So it was basically, you don't run the set distance, you run the set time. You know, the athletes are running round and round and round, but then as they get close to, let's just say, the finish line with 9 seconds to go, you don't stop at the finish line because there's still 9 seconds to go, but you can see the 10 seconds counting down. So you're basically running to an imaginary finish line because the finish line is in time rather than space, if you see what I mean. And that was just really funny watching. That was really deep, actually. I didn't know I was going to say that.
Very Doctor Who, that was.
And then they had things like the elimination mile, which I think we saw in, was it the European Cup or the European Team Championships a few years ago, kind of the devil take the hindmost kind of thing, which really messes with athletes' rhythm, so I'm never very sure if I approve of that. There was the 2x300 mixed relay, so Christina Harugo was doing that, and I have to say 300 is really not her event, because you know how she usually comes through like a tank in the last 100 metres of a 400. Yeah, at 300, she didn't quite do that. They had the likes of Tamsin Lewis commentating, Steve Hooker, John Stephenson. Steve Monaghetti was the kind of the referee, the kind of John Anderson character. I think there was also an event to see how much Genevieve Lacaze could screech into a microphone. God,
I think that's what made it for me. I think it was the idea to give her a microphone was brilliant because she was just shouting, and because she was the team captain for Australia, and it was just like, come on, keep going. And then like, the commentators were trying to talk to her, and she was like, hang on a sec, they're coming around again, and she'd just start screaming at them. It was just hilarious. The presentation, like you said, they had Steve Hooker, but he was commentating like right next to the pole vault.
Yes.
He literally just stood there with a microphone.
Deadly.
And he then just randomly grabbed the athlete and just say, well, what did you think? And it was like a bit different. It wasn't as like behind closed doors. It was very open. Like talking to Fabrice Lapierre as soon as he'd done his jump. And then like, you know, mocking him a little bit. And it was just quite, I think it was the fact it was in Australia, because it was their kind of laid back, let's just a bit of fun attitude. And that kind of carried through. And you could actually really get into it. And I think, like you said, it's a good breeding ground for young athletes who don't get the opportunity to go to these kind of events.
Yeah. So, I mean, the one thing that I just had at the back of my mind was that I was really worried that some of the big names would really hurt themselves. For some of the events, it didn't actually make a difference. So, for example, Mike Rimmer did a couple of events. So I think he did one of the 800-metre legs in the medley relay, and I think he might have done the elimination mile and stuff as well. But for him, that was him just, you know, deciding that that was what he needed to run the weekend and didn't seem too odd. But just some of the stuff that was just a little bit more offbeat, I was kind of a bit worried that, you know, people might hurt themselves kind of messing around, to be honest. And actually, Bianca Williams pulled up with a hamstring injury. That was like, oh, you know, is that so? That was quite difficult to watch in places, you know, it's just
That was quite early on as well, because it was three meetings over the weeks, and she was like a big player for obviously for Team England. And but then Jodie Williams' sister Hannah, she stepped up and kind of took over the mantle of the sprint event. So it was nice to see little Jodie, Jodie's little sister.
Well, one of the really funny moments for me was when one of the mixed relays, I think it was it 4x100 or 4x150, I can't remember, but there was no set order to the men and the women. So Bolt's team was basically Asafa Powell, Bolt, Jenna Prandini and Jenna Bartarmo, I think. But on the first leg, Asafa Powell was the only man. So all of the teams had elected to put women. And it just, he looked like Godzilla, you know, that far bend. You know, very clearly in front, but he just looked giant. And actually, you couldn't really see how that was playing out from leg to leg, because they just focused on Bolt's team. And I mean, they were ahead from the minute that Powell ran. So it was Powell to Bolt to Prandini to Tarmo. So they were always going to win. But you couldn't see how the legs evened themselves out, you know, as the genders kind of balanced. And I think one of the events on the second night, I think it was a mixed 400. And on the last leg, there was, I think it was an Australian girl running, but Theo Campbell from England. And she was in the lead, and he was just catching her in the home straight. And as he just passed her to win, he blew her a kiss. And I couldn't work out whether it was really jolly or patronising. You know, but there was definitely a wee kind of macho element when, in any of the races, a woman was ahead. As they should be, given just what the stagger was, and then a guy was on that leg. You could see them. You could just see them going,
gotta get it.
I can't be beaten by a girl. I just need to, you know. It's like, well, she's not going to beat you. The point is that it will even out. But it was really entertaining. So I did quite enjoy it. Just as you say, if you just put aside that it's not the usual stuff, and put aside, you know, I hope no one hurts themselves. It was pretty entertaining. And I think the Aussie thing's a really important point as well, because, I mean, if we did it, you would have Jonathan Edwards and Colin and Denise just kind of, you know, and you and you and Thomas kind of just kind of messing about, and it would just be a bit different. And I'm just not sure we could quite carry it off the way the Aussies do.
The mixed relays could actually spill out into, you know, proper athletics.
That's exactly what I was really going to say, Chris. Totally.
Just watching Usain Bolt pass the baton to Jenna Prandini was exciting.
Yes.
And there was still that question mark of who is actually going to win, especially because of a lot of like injuries and stuff. I think Fabrice Lapierre ran in one of the relays for Australia at the end.
He did,
and got it completely wrong. And ran completely left way too soon. And...
But the mixed relay is a great idea. I think that's it was brilliant to watch. I mean, it was definitely the most YouTubed video of them all. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, we have these championships in Ireland. They're called the Community Games. And there's one for each county. And there's like an under 12 relay, under 14, under 16, and then under 17, I think. But when you're under 15, you have a mixed relay. And it's so brilliant. Always a really, really well fought race. And I'm surprised that's never caught on.
They're bringing it into the world relays.
Yeah.
This year. I think they should probably consider it in the European Team Championship.
The Nitro Athletics, there's a lot of stuff there that would just not work from a serious competitive standpoint. But there is some, it's a really great platform to try different things that could potentially work. Even in the way they broadcast it. I mean, the way we broadcast the World Championships, we might want to change that.
But you can imagine a scenario, even, you know, at what point Bolt retires, that he could still be associated with it. All-Stars, he's not running. You know what I mean? So I just wonder if this is part of his kind of legacy planning for what's next. And, and for me, there's a real parallel between Usain Bolt and Brendan Foster. It's a sentence I never thought I'd say. Because you know how Brendan then kind of went on to develop the Great North Run and the Great Run series and stuff? So that's Brendan's kind of legacy. This strikes me. You
know what I mean? Yeah. So, well, they could develop it that way, as having each team with a captain who is a retired. Yeah. So Australia could be like Cathy Freeman.
Yeah.
But I'd also love to see like some over 35 races or over 45 races and have some people that we used to love in the 90s or whatever come back, have a run. Why not? That'd be really cool to see. But I'm thinking more to Friday, and I'm really excited for Belgrade, and I know you're going to keep us right up to speed there, Gabby. So we're going to open up the Trackastic Twitter to the Atleticos who are there. They're going to keep us up to date on Twitter. So make sure you're following us and make sure you're checking in. We're also going to have some video reports. Gabby, what else are you going to do for us?
So I think we'll try and give you some live reactions from Belgrade. I might reserve the right for them to be spoken, written, or pictorial reactions, where we were. So we'll either be tweeting directly from Belgrade, maybe sending through some video clips, some voice recordings. So we'll just kind of keep you up to date with what's happening. So you can check the official coverage, but be sure and check the Trackastic coverage as well, because then you can find out what's really happening behind the scenes.
Looking forward to it.
Actually, if you're going to Belgrade, just if you tweet Trackastic, we'll make sure that we look out for you when we're there. So I'm going with Dr. Dan. So he will be analysing everyone's problems. And it's a wider group of Bev Watkins is going. Seamus Carey, Dan Peachy, Ivan Duggan, and a few others as well. So tweet us if you're going, and we'll make sure we look out for you and catch up, and we can maybe have a drink, maybe a wee glass of Slivovica or something.
Is it a dry stadium? Is he going to have to take something in?
Well, the latest I saw was Bev was being told to wear really big pants. So
Fred was a nurse and she used to strap a catheter bag to her leg with
one. Oh, Jesus.
Maybe Ivana will take us out.
And maybe for us other lowly people who are watching at home from our laptops, we can like hashtag you guys on an Atletico dare and make you do crazy stuff and post photos.
Okay.
Yeah, right. We'll work on that. We can work on that. So we've just wrapped up our 10th episode. It started back just before Rio, and now we get to our 10th episode just before Serbia, Belgrade, European Championships. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Jamie at McGann Jamie.
I've been Carol at Flick22S.
I've been Chris at Chris Brown Sport.
I've been Kerry at Le Petit Cochon.
And I've been Gabby at Smoky Mozzarella. Dobro veče. See you in Belgrade.
Another please. Ramsom. Another please. Jessica Ennis. Good night.